Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. Two for one, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sound Guy Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Real quick, some show notes if you're looking for some wrestling. Tonight you have WCWO in Indianapolis like usual. Tomorrow night you have Supreme Wrestling in Madison, Indiana. PPW in Bedford, Indiana. There's an AIWF TV taping that will be streaming out of Pacheco, California. Well, there's some wrestling around. Get yourself some wrestling if there's a show near you and you feel safe to do it. And without any further ado, I want to welcome to the show today, first time guest with us, Zuka King. How are you doing?
Good, man. How about you?
Doing very well. Since it is your first time with us, like we said, I'm going to start you out today with the traditional first-timer question. What led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
I've always been a fan of wrestling growing up. How can I put this? My cousin, I used to look up a lot of wrestling history and stuff like that and just research wrestling all the time. And my cousin walked in on me one day watching some wrestling stuff. And he was like, man, you watch so much wrestling, you should be a wrestler. And then it, like, clicked. And then I was like, all right, that's what I'm going to do. But I didn't start wrestling until I was, what, maybe 25? So I was, like, a late bloomer. But, yeah, just always having the love for the business, just had to get up and do it.
Now, starting out at 25, did you have anything going on as far as, like, something that was going to build a background for wrestling training, like MMA training or a different sport or a drama or anything like that that was going to prepare you for what wrestling was? Or at 25, was wrestling training sort of your initial entry into the entire world of pro wrestling?
I was an amateur wrestler in high school for like maybe a year, and I did a little MMA like 3 years before I got into wrestling, but just straight up wrestling training, you know, something I wanted to do. So I just contacted I went to a wrestling show here down in Charleston, South Carolina called Old School Championship Wrestling, and I met who's now my mentor, Bob Keller. And him and John Schuyler was the one who trained me. And I'm going on ever since.
Now, in recent times, you were the recipient of something called the Rising Star Award that was given to you for 2020. Can you tell us a little bit about the award and maybe the reasoning behind you winning that?
Every year, there's a guy named Robert Tunesdale. He goes by Redbeard. He gathers up a collective group of people, and they all choose who they want to vote for. But they did it different this year. It's the Carolina Wrestling Awards. They did it a little different. They let more of the fans vote or whatever. And I was actually nominated for two awards, the Rising Star and the Fire of the Carolinas. I think just me being consistent throughout the whole pandemic, because I wrestled throughout this whole pandemic. I think I maybe been off of wrestling for like a month, but I was still competing for Urban Combat Championship Wrestling. I mean, Urban Combat Wrestling, AML Wrestling, and local stuff in Georgia and the Carolinas, stuff like that. So I was still keeping busy and still building my name up, reputation, while everything, while a lot of stuff wasn't going on. And I think that's what really put more eyes on me, because I was probably one of the only few that was still competing there, all the stuff was going on in the year 2020. But it's just it's an award for the guys and girls in the area of in North and South Carolina. And they got the Wrestler of the Year, Rising Star, Fire of Carolina Tag Team, Manager, Women's Wrestler, and so on. And I was lucky enough to finally be nominated for an award. I'm just fortunate and blessed to be able to be Rising Star of Carolina. So hopefully I can give y'all a good, if not better, year in 2021.
Hopefully that is true for sure. Now, you said you got into wrestling a little bit later than some. Definitely not the oldest person to ever get into the business. But did you have, at the point you entered, or do you have now sort of an ultimate goal as far as your wrestling career? Is there a promotion that you most want to get to, or some sort of title you most want to have before end things in ring?
Any big time company right now, WWE, AEW, Impact, Ring of Honor, MLW, AAA, it don't matter. Like, hopefully in my career, I can fortunately be able to wrestle for all these companies. But my end goal is to wrestle for one of the big companies. And for belts, winning a belt, it's cool. Man, I would love to win championships, but I don't have a specific belt that I want to hold on to. I just love wrestling and going out there and entertaining these people, you know.
One of the things that is a common goal for a lot of wrestlers is to wrestle in all 50 states. And usually a lot of the wrestlers most fear getting to Alaska as one of the last states. Alaska actually has a pretty thriving independent wrestling scene right now. They're doing a lot of good things up there, but people in the lower 48 states don't often realize it or recognize that fact. Is getting to Alaska something that you've ever considered for your career?
Well, I would love to. I want to wrestle anywhere. Don't matter. I love it. I would. If somebody gave me the call and I can get flown up there, or I can fly myself up there, I'll do it.
Well, thank you. Definitely have an independent scene up there. Lots of great talent is heading up to Alaska, and I would definitely recommend it if you have the opportunity. Now, in wrestling, since it is a dangerous physical sport, anybody that is in it for any length of time has had one or more of those moments where momentarily just terrified because of something you saw in the ring, be it an injury or something gone wrong with one of the fans or whatever it is. In your career to this point, do you have something that stands out to you as the scariest moment?
Before I got into wrestling, or currently while I'm in wrestling?
I'm thinking more of while you're in wrestling.
No, nothing comes to mind. And there's never been a situation not at all. I've been injured, but it wasn't that. It wasn't like a major injury.
Well, let's hope you stay that way, and you don't have anything too traumatic happen for you. That's always a positive. And you mentioned having minor injuries, and that's something that everybody deals with if they're in the wrestling business for any length of time at all. What are some of those nagging injuries that you've had to deal with?
I had about 2 years ago, I had a nagging shoulder injury. Because I'm left-handed, so I used to use my left side, and I had shoulder issues for maybe about a year, and then that started going away, and then I started getting pains on my right side, my right shoulder. But once the pandemic happened and I was able to get like at least a month off, I was back to normal. But it was just mostly my both of my shoulders, but it was mostly my left shoulder. Like it was one I used to KT tape my shoulders for most of my matches about a year or two ago.
Shoulders are usually the worst injuries just because they are slow to heal and they often reoccur very easily, and they're really annoying. So,
yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
Your shoulder is healed up by now.
Oh yeah, I'm good.
And we have a game on the show that we like to play called "Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk." I'll ask you a series of two options, and the one that is your own personal preference is the answer. There's no right or wrong answer. Are you prepared for some Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk?
Yes, sir.
Here we go. Body slam or Thez press?
Body slam.
Figure four leg lock or the Boston Crab?
Figure four.
Singlet or trunks?
Trunks.
Fishing or skiing?
I always wanted to try skiing, so I try skiing.
Water or Gatorade?
Water. Can't go wrong with water.
Marvel or DC?
Marvel.
16-foot ring or 18-foot ring?
18, but I got trained in a 16.
Stripes or bow tie and dress shirt combination?
Say the first one again.
Stripes.
The bow tie.
The final one, Ring of Honor or Impact Wrestling?
Oh, man, that's hard. I'm going to go with Impact.
All right. One of the more overlooked jobs in all of professional wrestling is the ring announcer. A lot of people don't give credit to the ring announcer for being able to kind of carry a show and be the face of a company. A lot of times they are the people that are able to keep a show running smoothly amongst chaos. From your own experiences on shows, who would you say are some of the better ring announcers out there that people may not understand how important they really are?
I'm going to go with my number one guy, Brett Wolverton. He's out of the Greenville area, but he's all over the Carolinas, North, South, and in Georgia. He's a great ring announcer. Oh man, I'm trying to think if this is somebody else. Brett's the only one that comes to mind right now. Brett Wolverton.
Fair enough. You said you were keeping busy during the whole pandemic, not missing a whole lot of time. A lot of wrestlers miss quite a bit of time here up in the Northwest where we're located. It's still not going. We haven't had live shows for a while. But in that downtime, a lot of wrestlers were ordering new wrestling gear. A lot of people decided when they came back, they wanted to have sort of a new look, debut some new gear. I'm sure, like most wrestlers, your gear is something you take pride in as well. What would you say is your favorite piece of gear that you have?
My for the culture trunks that I got made is black red it's black trunks with the red, black and green flag, basically like the colors going through my name on my tights, on the back of my tights. Those are my favorite ones. And my new black and red boots. And I like my original trunks that I got, BAMs. When I started using my logo BAM Sucker, my first pair of trunks were light blue, and those are my second favorite. Because those are like the first ones that really like that I put my logo on, that basically had my own identity with it. Because at first I was part of a group, and my old trunks, I would just have my name and maybe the group name. The group name was the END, the Equal Nation Demonstration. But this time it was like I had my own trunks that represent, like it has my catchphrase and my name on it. So,
you had to make some recommendations to some wrestlers that were looking for new gear. They needed some quality gear made. What would your recommendation be as far as person to make that gear?
A guy out of Georgia named Adrian Hawkins. He makes gear for me, TJ Boss, my tag team partner, one of my trainers, John Schuyler, who's recently been on AEW Dark. He makes his gear, and he makes gear for Ethan Case, a guy out of North Carolina, guy who wrestles in the Carolinas, who has his own wrestling school as well. I just know about us four, but he makes great gear. And he gave it to you in a good time, stuff like that. He's quality. And a great gear maker is a guy named Derek Driver. He's been wrestling in the Carolinas for years. Great talent. He makes great gear as well. And then Derek Driver, he wrestled in upstate South Carolina and North Carolina area.
Very, very good. Now, in the Carolina area, there's one promotion that is going to be starting back up in June, we hope. They're kind of a niche promotion, has a niche audience, that being Gouge. Gouge has had a loyal following in North Carolina for a long time. Have you familiar yourself with Gouge before? Are you aware of them?
Yes, I'm aware of them. Timmy Luretten, who's a good friend of mine, and we've had some competitive matches against each other. He was the Gouge champion for almost 2 years, 3 years, something like that. He was a champion
for
a long time.
Yeah.
But I haven't wrestled. I have never wrestled for them. I just knew he always had the belt. I think when I first met him, he had the belt. And I just knew he had the belt. He was a champion. And they ran shows up in somewhere in North Carolina. That's all I knew about the company. But when they open back up, man, it's all good. Like, I wouldn't mind working for them, you know.
I would recommend it. I have been there myself and had a fantastic time. They're a great company to get to work for if you ever have the chance. So definitely I would suggest you looking up the people there and seeing if you can't get on with Gouge.
Right.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT is standing by, and I know he has questions as well, so I'm going to pass things over to him.
Cool.
Well, thank you, Sun Guy. Hello, Mr. Zuka. How you doing?
Good. How about you?
Pretty good. Now, Mr. Zuka, in the past, at least a couple weeks, we've had, on my part, a little bit of trouble with communication static-wise and interference. Can you hear me clearly?
I can hear you fine. Perfect.
Oh, okay. Very good. Well, Mr. Zuka, cold air from the Arctic and Canada have invaded the United States this week. High temperatures in Chicago have only reached 20 degrees for the last 2 days, and low temperatures of 5 were recorded. The wind chill in Chicago was recorded at 20 below, and wide areas of Montana and Minnesota have recorded 45 below. The temperature even reached 30 degrees in wide areas of Texas. My question is, why haven't any wrestlers adopted a finishing move called the polar vortex?
Because it sounds like it's beating everybody, right?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Oh, okay. And they also haven't, I have never seen a wrestler with a move called the wind chill ever.
Me either. You never know, I might start using it.
Well, Mr. Zuka, I saw your YouTube video entitled Zuka King versus Eric Darkstrom. I think that's Darkstrom, yes. Action-packed wrestling, 10-9-2020. And at the 3-minute and 26-second mark, you got Eric in a headlock. And at the 3-minute and 32-second mark, you gave him a noogie or rub on the head with your knuckles.
Right.
My question is, how many other wrestlers have you seen use the noogie as an offensive weapon, and was Ric Flair one of them?
I don't know. I don't remember if I've ever seen Ric do it. But
okay.
I don't know. I don't remember. I have to look back. Like, I don't know if anybody ever did it. I know there's people that have probably done it, but I haven't seen it.
Has anyone given you a noogie in the ring?
No, but I've had people, like, play in my ears or say funny things to me, but nobody's ever given me a noogie.
Pull your ears. Now, the ear is all cartilage. Did you know that some of the military – when they train hand-to-hand combat, especially the Marines, one of your moves in the Marines for shock and awe against your enemy is to pull his ear off. Ears can come off.
Really?
Did you know?
Yes. No, I did not.
Did you know the Marines were nicknamed the Devil Dogs by the Germans for their action at the Battle of the Bulge? Devil Dogs.
Mm-mm. I never knew that.
Oh, okay. This just segues into my next question. Why haven't you seen a wrestler named Devil Dog? But then again, it also segues into a question. Have you yourself ever wrestled on an Army base or other armed service base?
Is the National Guard buildings count, right?
Yeah, National Guard does.
Yeah, National Guard buildings, stuff like that. Armories. Yeah, I'm wrestling a couple armories here and there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what the last National Army building you wrestled in was? And if it was in North Carolina,
I think it is in North Carolina. I can never remember the name, but it is in North Carolina, and it's in Forest City, North Carolina.
Oh, okay, all right, very good. Okay, well, Mr. Zuka, your opponent Eric Darkstrom was heavily tattooed up. He reminded me of Black Flag's singer Henry Rollins and his tattoos, especially on Henry's back. My question is, have you ever considered using either of these Black Flag songs as your entrance music? TV Party,
No.
Raise Above, or Six Pack?
No, I got my own entrance music.
Oh, okay. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what your top three entrance music that you use is?
My first one is my theme song. It's called King by Montezzi. Montezzi is, you probably hear him on Swerve City podcast with Isaiah Swerve. He got Brother Wrestles for NXT. His friend Montezzi made the King song for me. My second song, since I'm with the END, the Equal Nation Demonstration, we come out to Straight Outta Compton by NWA. And my third is a rapper from Las Vegas named Jay Natural. He has a song called Fly Guy that I used to come out to.
Oh, well, hey, that sounds pretty good. Not too bad. Have you ever considered using entrance music from Wu-Tang Clan?
I used to use, when I first started, I used the song Cream. Cash rules everything around me.
Okay, all right. Now, Goldust wasn't known for any particular song, but he had that weird Twilight Goldust floating in the air. My question is, were you a big fan of Goldust?
Yeah, Goldust was cool. I like Goldust as a... No, this was cool. I like him when him and Booker T was a tag team.
Yes. Do you agree with the statement that the 7-Eleven moment where Goldust offered to share his weenie with Booker T was a seminal moment in wrestling history?
I guess it was.
Oh, okay. Well, that was a very good moment. Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Zuka, you can go on YouTube and see a post-Henry Rollins Black Flag singing Rise Above with Cyndi Lauper. My question is, did you like Cyndi Lauper's collaboration with Captain Lou Albano back in the 1980s?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Oh, okay. What did you think when the record was broken over Lou Albano's head? Another seminal moment in history.
I have to go back and watch it again.
Oh, okay.
It's been so long since I've seen it.
Okay, we often assign homework assignments on the Turnbuckle Turmoil show. This is your homework assignment. Very good. All right. Well, Mr. Zuka, if Cyndi Lauper is nominated into the WWE Hall of Fame, and there are rumors that she will be, do you believe Ultimo Dragon should induct her?
No, that's kind of weird, but and WWE has done weird things, so I wouldn't see that wrong with it.
Okay, all right. It's just that Captain Lou Albano has passed, and he can't do the inducting of Cyndi Lauper. That's out of the question.
Right.
Okay. Well, Mr. Zuka, in the match at the 5-minute and 25-second mark, you got off the canvas and picked Eric up to your waist and sidewalk slammed him. This indicates you have good strength in your legs. Do you do squats as a power lifting workout?
Yes.
No, oh, okay. Now, do you squat with a light weight for many reps, or do you go heavy and small reps, explosive reps, with not too many, with big weight?
Either or. Sometimes I change it up.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, speaking of powerlifting, were you a big fan of Mark Henry, a champion power lifter himself?
No. No.
Okay. All right.
Now, well,
sometimes Henry is an acquired taste.
I love when he did the Hall of Pain stuff, and when he cut that promo on and turned on John Cena. That was great.
Oh, good. Okay, yes, very good. I liked his moment when he was in bed with Mae Young as Sensual Chocolate.
Right. That's memorable.
Yes. All right. Now, Mr. Zuka, I was impressed with Mr. Darkstorm's roundhouse bicycle kicks that reminded me of the soccer star Pele back in the 1970s. Yeah. One roundhouse kick put you down in the match at the 5-minute and 59-second mark. Were you yourself surprised at Mr. Darkstorm's MMA ability?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Do you yourself train in yoga and MMA yourself?
I trained in MMA maybe like 2 or 3 years before I got into wrestling. And I do yoga here and there. It's rare.
Oh, all right. I know that DDP trains in hot yoga, and it has helped him recover from pretty debilitating back injuries. Do you yourself do hot yoga like DDP does, Diamond Dallas Page?
I've done it one time before.
No, okay.
I've done DDP yoga maybe 3 times, I believe.
3 times, okay. Wow, okay. Well, Mr. Zuka, there are rumors out of Shelton, Washington, that you are a good dancer. If you could travel back in time and Scotty Too Hotty invited you into the ring and down the stage with Rikishi Fatu, could you have held your own with a dancer?
I'd outdance the three of them.
Whoa! Boy, you get outdanced the three of them. Oh, okay. Is there any wrestler currently at Action Packed Wrestling that could body slam Rikishi Fatu?
TJ Ball.
Oh, now what size does he go? Does he go like around 6'4" or 350 pounds?
I think maybe TJ is maybe like close to 300, I believe.
Okay.
He's a strong boy. He's a strong guy.
Would you believe that he has the build of Lex Luger?
No.
No. Oh, okay. All right. So, Mr. Zuka, you had Eric backed up in the corner at the 7-minute and 40-second mark, and at the 7-minute 43-second mark, he with a left hand to his stomach. My question is, did you take boxing lessons as a youngster?
Ask the question one more time.
Do you remember at the 7:43 mark hitting your opponent with a left hand to the stomach?
Yeah.
Did you take boxing lessons as a youngster?
Yeah.
Did your father encourage you to get into boxing like many fathers do?
No, I did it on my own.
Oh, okay. Can you tell us about what age you took up boxing, what year that was?
Just as I said, I did mixed martial arts in my early 20s, like 21, 20, 22, 23, I think.
Okay. All right. Mr. Zuka, do you ever remember your father mentioning watching the first Roberto Duran, Sugar Ray Leonard welterweight boxing match in 1980? Do you remember him talking about this?
No.
Mr. Zuka, if you could travel back in time, who would you have rather faced in Madison Square Garden, the Crusher or Bruno Sammartino?
The Crusher.
Oh, okay. Do tell. Why would you pick him over Bruno Sammartino?
The Crusher was, I just like the Crusher's over the top personality, you know. And the Crusher was cool.
Who are the top three WWE wrestlers, and this could be from either the past or the present, that match Bruno Sammartino in personality, in your opinion?
The top three WWE superstars?
Yes.
Hogan, Rock, Austin.
Okay. Were you a big fan of Roddy Piper and his bagpipes?
Yeah, I like Roddy Piper. He was cool.
Now, Mr. Zuka, would you prefer today's post-pandemic, that before the pandemic hit, traveling to wrestling shows and travel to different areas or stay in your area, or would you have preferred the territorial days if you could travel back in time? Which would you prefer?
I would love to wrestle in the territory days.
Okay, which top three territories would you have preferred to wrestle in, and would one of them been the Pacific Northwest in the 1960s and 70s with legendary owner Don Owens?
Don Owens. Portland would be up there. If we can do four of them, it would be Portland, the Carolinas, of course, Texas, and the California territory with Roy Shires and Michael LaBelle. That would have been cool.
Okay, those are very good choices. How about the Tennessee area back in the 70s, early 70s?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
No, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Zuka, have you ever received a knife-edge chop from a lady wrestler? And if so, what was the hardest knife-edge chop you have received from a lady?
I have not been chopped, but I haven't got a knife or a chop from a lady.
Okay, never have. Okay. How many times have you tag teamed with a lady?
None. I've never had an intergender match before.
Okay. Any plans in the future to have an intergender match with a lady?
If it happens, it happens. If it happens, it happens. I don't have no problem with it.
All right. Okay. If given the choose, would you welcome the opportunity to wrestle the first transgender female in your area? Transgender female. I don't think it's happened.
I don't think it happens either. That is what it is. Once you get in that ring,
okay,
it's a totally different game, you know?
No, I hear that. I think Goldust started to pave the way for transgender wrestling, or hint at it. That's why I admire Goldust so good. Yes. Okay. Well, Mr. Zuka, have you ever considered, if given the opportunity, to wrestle in a haunted place, like a maximum security prison?
No.
Oh, okay. Have you yourself heard the stories of maximum security prisons being haunted, like Alcatraz?
I've heard about Alcatraz.
Yes.
They offer
tours of Alcatraz, and one photographer snapped a picture with his camera into an empty, darkened cell, and when he got the photographs developed, he saw a face staring back at him.
Mm.
Yes. What this has to do with wrestling, I'm not sure. But, oh, yeah, haunted places. Mr. Zuka, are you familiar with the World War II Nazi death camps of Treblinka, Auschwitz, and Bergen-Belsen?
Yeah, I heard that.
I wouldn't want to wrestle there either. I'd rather stick with the territory.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, Mr. Zuka, I really admired your match with Mr. Darkstrom. Are there any plans about wrestling Mr. Darkstrom in the future?
If the opportunity presents itself, I'll be ready to wrestle.
If given that opportunity, do you plan to give him a second noogie?
Yeah, I will.
Oh, good.
I'm gonna leave knots on his head too.
Wow. All right. And my last question: have you ever received a knife-edge chop from a wrestler named Madman Pondo?
Oh. All right. I just watched him.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just watched him wrestle in GCW just the other day. I didn't know he still wrestled.
Whoa, where was this match held at?
You talking about the hardcore wrestler, Madman Pondo?
Yes.
Yeah, GCW, the Fight Forever show, where they wrestled for 24 hours. Like, the whole, it was a 24-hour show.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah, he was on one of the shows.
Okay. All right. Well, at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy, and I wish you luck with your homework assignment of Cyndi Lauper in the wrestling ring and the record being broke over her head. I think it was her head.
Right.
Yes. Oh, okay. Back to you, Sign Guy.
Thanks, QT. Well, Zuka King, I will point out, tying up the Alcatraz thing to wrestling, Roddy Piper, in preparation for his match with Hulk Hogan in WCW, spent a week at Alcatraz and did a promo from one of the cells. So there you go.
Nice. Oh, nice.
Now, here in the era of wrestling that we are in currently, in large part just due to the events of the world and the restrictions that have been placed on wrestling, one of the more popular things to do is using cinematic style matches. We've seen the major promotions use them. Independent companies are starting to put more and more cinematic style matches out there just so they have content and are able to keep their names in the minds of the fans. What do you think of the cinematic style matches?
It's all right. I'm not really a fan of it. I'm a traditional old school guy, old school wrestler, but if the people like it and it's making money, and it is what it is.
Now, have you at any point been asked by a promoter to take part in a cinematic style match?
No.
Now, another way that wrestlers in this era have been trying to keep their names fresh in the minds of fans and prepare for when they're able to go out in front of the crowds and wrestle again is, of course, using social media. It's become hugely important in the last few years to maintain a social media presence. Do you think, by and large, that a lot of wrestlers in your area on the independents are correctly using social media, or do you think it's something that not a lot of people have correctly grasp how to use it successfully yet?
I think some guys can work on it. Some guys use it really well, some don't. I don't really keep up with other people, so I just do my own thing. But there are guys that I see that really use and promote themselves really well on social media.
Alan, of course, right now with a lot of wrestlers still not having live shows to go to perform and make money that way, merchandising has been a way that a lot of wrestlers have kept income coming towards them, probably more important now than ever to have some form of merchandise and able to sell things to the fans and at least make a little something. Do you personally have very much merchandise to offer the fans right now?
Yes, sir. I have my Zuka King T-shirt, and I have my Bam Sucker T-shirt. And you can reach out to me either Instagram, Facebook, Twitter about how to get one of those T-shirts.
Now, from your own experiences at live events, what would you say are some of the stranger things that wrestlers have offered at the merchandise tables?
I can't. There's nothing at the top of my head I can think of right now. I've seen guys sell like video games. I've seen guys sell Halloween, like, stuff, all kind of stuff. But nothing that sticks in my head right now. It was sticks out.
Someone that is in the Carolinas, obviously there are a lot of legendary names that still reside there. Going back to the territorial days, a lot of people just made their home in the Carolinas and never left it as far as full-time residents. Do you run into a lot of the more legendary names from the territorial days, be it at various live shows or just kind of in a day-to-day situation, you see guys that were legends in the territorial system?
Rock and Roll Express. I've wrestled Ricky Morton, Tommy Rich, Austin Idol. There's plenty of guys. And Nikita. There's so many different guys that made names in Terry. Ric Flair, Arn Anderson. I see a lot of guys come through here that I didn't expect would be in this area, but they're here. Manny Fernandez. So many different guys that come through in and out this area.
And you say you wrestled the Rock and Roll Express. Who would you say, just in your own opinion, was the biggest name that you've ever personally wrestled against?
Biggest name had to be at the time, maybe when I wrestled recently. Me and my tag team partner Chris Valor, we just wrestled Gangrel and Kevin Thorn last month. I think the maybe Bubba Ray Dudley, Tommy Dreamer, the Barbarian, guys like that. Tommy Rich and Ricky Morton. Those are the guys that come to mind.
Now, if you were able to make it work out, who are some of the people on the independent circuit that are currently active that you would most want to wrestle?
Guys like J.D. Drake, T.J. Moss, Lucky Ali, John Schuyler, James Johnson. There's so many different guys. Franco Varga, JDX, Brandon Gore. There's a lot of guys out there that I want to step in the ring with.
Now, if you were to get an opportunity to wrestle these guys, would you prefer it be in the North Carolina, South Carolina area, or would you prefer going to where they are in order to have the match?
I'll go there. Going there is fine with me. If they come here, that's cool too. Either or, I'm good with both of them. Plus, I like to travel, so I'd rather come beat you in your hometown, you know.
Now, in the territorial days of the region where you're wrestling, for the most part, there used to be regular occurrences of fan attacks. A lot of pro wrestlers would get stabbed by overzealous fans, people like Ole Anderson, Roddy Piper, Greg Valentine. They all had stories of people jumping out of the crowd with knives or straight razors or hat pins or whatever and cutting them. In your career, have you ever had overzealous fans that tried to attack one of the competitors?
No.
Let's hope it stays that way.
Right.
Now, obviously, in situations where there are fan attacks, one of the first lines of defense is the referee. Usually the referee is able to at least slow down somebody enough that security can go and grab them. Have you ever been aware of a situation where maybe a referee had to act in a match or get you out of a situation because it looked like a fan might be coming towards you?
Never.
Let's keep it that way as well. That's good. That's kind of a dying thing in pro wrestling. Well, we're getting down to the last few minutes of the show, and I want to make sure you have ample time. If there is anything you want to say to the fans, plug and promote anything and everything, your social media, merchandise, upcoming shows, your favorite ice cream parlor, anything in the world that you would like, the floor is all yours.
I want to thank everybody for supporting me, and I appreciate you coming out to see me. Buying merchandise, like, I never thought people would be buying T-shirts with my face on it and stuff like that, but that's real cool. And just the support in general. You can find me on Instagram at Zuka_King_. You can find me on Twitter at Z_ShopDAWorld. You can find me on Facebook at Zuka King. I will be wrestling in Charleston, South Carolina next Sunday on the 21st. I'll be in Nashville, Tennessee on the 23rd for WrestleForce. I'll be wrestling back in Charleston, South Carolina on the 26th of February. I'll be at Lariato in Lyons, Georgia. I will be back at Live Wire Wrestling March 6th in Georgia, in Augusta, Georgia. I'll be making my debut for APCW on March 13th in Douglasville, Georgia. So I'll be pretty busy the next few months. So this month, next month, maybe the month after. So we'll see. And my favorite ice cream parlor is Ye Olde Fashioned.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we want to thank you very much for being on our show today, and I wish you well in what you're doing upcoming, and hopefully we'll get to do this again sometime.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Fans, definitely, yeah. If Zuka King's going to be near you, go buy a ticket, check out what he does. He's a fantastic talent, and as his award indicates, he's a rising star in the Southeast, so definitely support him and what he's doing. We'll be back with you on Sunday afternoon for our music day. We're talking music and pro wrestling and how the two intertwine. Some great guests lined up for you there. And then 1 week from today, out of California, Othello will be our guest. And as we sign off today, I want to first throw out a happy birthday to my Aunt Gertrude. And then some sad news to report. One of my biggest fans, longtime Hoosier Pro Wrestling supporter and ring crew member, Dylan Roberts, suddenly passed away. a couple of days ago, so we want to send well wishes out to his family. He will definitely be missed by everyone that knew him. He was a fantastic wrestling fan, loved working on the ring crew and just helping out pro wrestling wherever he could. And then, of course, yesterday, the wrestling world lost Rusty Brooks, who is a former guest of this very show, longtime Florida-based competitor. He was in the WWF in the mid-80s, wrestled Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, Junkyard Dog, so many of the top talents, trained a whole lot of talent there in Florida. He was very, very widely respected. So we want to send out our well wishes to all of the fans, friends, and family members of Rusty Brooks as well. And as we end the show, we will definitely hit the 10 bell for him.